Hey guys, welcome back to Real Estate Investing in New York with me, Christina Kramidis. And in this episode, I'm discussing the best neighborhoods in Manhattan to invest in right now. So stay tuned, we're covering everything here. If you are looking to purchase property in Manhattan, whether it be for a primary residence or for an investment property, there are certain things that you're going to want to be cognizant of so that you can make sure that you are making a good investment and investing in a neighborhood that is going to give you as much return as possible on your investment. This is really for my listeners who are looking to make an investment strategically in a place that they are going to see maybe an increase in value or a specific cap rate. Like they're going to want to use the property as an investment and maybe collect rent, and they're looking to strategically make a decision that way. For primary residents, if you're looking for a property just to live in, you're going off of a little bit more than just pure numbers, right? You're going to want to understand what we're covering in this episode and use it in your decision-making process. But you might just say, well, I like this other particular neighborhood and this is where I want to live. And for that reason, you're going to live in one of these other neighborhoods. And that's perfectly validated. I think that every neighborhood in Manhattan is excellent when it comes to purchasing, especially when it comes to holding on to a long-term asset. I always say that real estate in New York City is a long-term investment. So as long as that's your approach, you are safe investing in pretty much any neighborhood in New York. But this is for my specific listeners who really want to carefully choose the neighborhoods that they're going to invest in for business reasons, not just living in a neighborhood that they like. When I'm speaking with a client and I hear that they are interested in making a strategic investment and they really want the data to drive our search, I always look at two specific data points when it comes to helping to recommend neighborhoods that we should be looking at. The first is the cap rate of that property, and the second is the appreciation of that property year over year. To define what these both are, the cap rate is calculated by taking your net income on the property. So if this is going to be a rental property for you, then we would calculate the cap rate by taking your annual income on the property, which is the estimated projected rent that you'll be receiving, and we subtract from it your expenses on the property, which would include your maintenance or common charge payment and your property taxes. And we take that net income amount annually and we divide that number by the purchase price that you would be buying the apartment for. It requires a little bit of analysis of data, and that's the job of your broker, because you want to understand what the anticipated rent is, what the monthlies would be on the property, and then finally your purchase price, what that price will look like in order to properly calculate that number. Then there's appreciation. Appreciation is how much that apartment will increase in value over time. So if you purchase a property for $1 million today, and then in 10 years, you can sell it for $1 million and let's say $300,000, that property appreciated by $300,000, and we work the appreciation into a ratio so that when we're looking at data across neighborhoods, we're actually able to see the percentage increase in values of properties year over year, and also over the course of many years at a time, because appreciation usually takes several years to realize. So when I have a client that expresses to me that we want the data to drive our search, we want the best investment possible, we want to be really particular about the neighborhoods that we look at, I actually combine the analysis of cap rates with appreciation to narrow down neighborhoods to look at. We use various tools. Douglas Elliman partners with one of the largest data analytics companies in the world, and this is where we get a lot of our information from. There are also a lot of great websites that regular consumers can access. One of these websites is called Urban Digs. We get some data from here as well. They do really great videos and market reports that you might find very interesting if you're into the data. So there's a few different places where I pulled my data from in order to make this episode, but really you want to make sure that you're looking at a few specific things. I first narrow down neighborhoods based on the cap rates. Cap rates can change here and there in terms of sometimes certain neighborhoods are outperforming others, but usually a high cap rate neighborhood is a high cap rate neighborhood, and that will often stay pretty similar for a long period of time. So first, I like to narrow down neighborhoods that have the highest cap rate. And then from there, I like to narrow down neighborhoods that have the best appreciation year over year, meaning property values have increased year over year. And the crossover neighborhoods that appear in my results for best cap rate, combined with the properties that show up in the search results for best appreciation rates, the neighborhoods that are showing up for me in both of those analyses are the neighborhoods that I recommend to my clients. It's always best to look at this data over the course of a year or so, because certain times in 1 month, data gets a little bit skewed. Maybe there was a really expensive building, for example, that was selling out inventory that might have skewed results. So typically you wanna look at least a year's worth of data when you're doing this type of analysis. So for the sake of this episode, as I discuss with you my top rated neighborhoods right now, I used 2023 data in order to get to these numbers. And when I refer to year over year, I'm referring to end of 2023 data versus end of 2022 data. So to get into the neighborhoods, what are my top recommended neighborhoods right now? I have four neighborhoods right now that I have been recommending a lot to my clients. I'm gonna start downtown and then we're gonna work our way up. So first on the list is the Financial District. This is a phenomenal area downtown that is only recently becoming more and more residential. Most people that are searching in Manhattan are not even looking down here, but because of that, you are getting a great value. And that will be the case for several more years. So if you are looking to invest in the Financial District, I always would say it's a good idea to do it now, because this neighborhood is only growing from here. The median sale price in the Financial District increased 9.9% year over year and is now clocking in around $1,250,000 as the median price. The price per square foot in the neighborhood increased 14.2% year over year and is now $1,553 per square foot. And if you're looking to rent an apartment out in the Financial District, the average cap rate is 3.2%, which in the context of Manhattan neighborhoods is quite good. There are many new development projects that have recently come into the Financial District, which means that there has been the increase in sale price per square foot, because the new buildings tend to be a more luxury product and they sell off at premium pricing, which is bolstering the neighborhood in terms of comparables. And when this happens, the price of resales actually also tend to go up. As a neighborhood overall improves, even the less nice apartments within that neighborhood also tend to go up in value. And of course, this takes time, because in the beginning, right now, with brand new inventory coming up, that might sort of like cannibalize some of the resales that are happening, whereas someone might choose a brand new product instead of a resale product. But in the context of the neighborhood as a whole, over time, as the entire neighborhood improves and becomes more expensive and becomes more of a neighborhood destination that people are actively choosing, all of the real estate in that area become expensive. And this is why, for example, in neighborhoods like the West Village, which is one of the most highly desired neighborhoods in all of Manhattan, you're seeing apartments that are walk-ups that aren't even nice, that are trading for the price that a luxury product might trade for in a different neighborhood. So this is just something to keep in mind. Moving on a little bit more uptown, we hit Tribeca. This is my second recommended neighborhood if you're looking for a great investment investment right now. The median sale price in Tribeca actually decreased year over year by 8.8%, which is not insignificant. The median sale price right now in Tribeca is around $1.3 million. However, what's very interesting about this neighborhood is that the price per square foot, the average price per square foot, increased by over 24% year over year. The average price per square foot is about $2,045 per square foot right now in Tribeca. You might wonder, how can this be, right? How can the median sale price be a bit lower year over year, but the average price per square foot be so much higher year over year? And there's several answers for this, but one of the main ones is that Tribeca is another neighborhood that experienced a lot of new development last year as well. Buildings that had been built a few years prior are still selling off, contributing to these higher numbers. Oftentimes, brand new buildings are offering individual units that are a little bit smaller than what you would typically find in an older type of building. And when these units sell off, since they're new, often premium product with luxury finishes, even if you push the price per square foot up, a significantly smaller apartment is always going to call for a smaller dollar amount. So now that we're seeing more of the new projects and newer buildings selling in Tribeca for a premium, they kind of offset and the overall price per square foot in the neighborhood has gone up significantly and the median price per square foot is a little bit lower. It's not something that I would be concerned about at all when it comes to investing in the neighborhood. I would just keep in mind the fact that overall the neighborhood has grown significantly and we really don't see that changing. As far as the cap rate in Tribeca, we're looking at 2.8%. This is also very strong in the context of Manhattan real estate, and it's definitely a place where if you were looking for a rental property to rent out to a incoming tenant, the rents are very high in Tribeca, and very often you're able to find tenants very quickly. There's not a ton of rental inventory available in Tribeca. It's a smaller neighborhood, but people who want to live in Tribeca want to live in Tribeca. So it's really whether you're looking for a primary residence or an investment property, it's an all-around excellent neighborhood. Moving on, we are now going to talk about Chelsea. My number three neighborhood that I am recommending right now is Chelsea, and there are a few reasons for that as well. This neighborhood also decreased very, very slightly in median sale price, just by 0.2%. So hardly much of a decrease. The median sale price in Chelsea is now just below $1.5 million. And the price per square foot in this neighborhood increased by 5.5% and is now $1,874. Now here's the main reason why I love Chelsea. The cap rate in Chelsea is 3.3%. This is amazing in terms of performance for cap rate in Manhattan. And what I find about this neighborhood is that renters who want to live in Chelsea specifically want to live in Chelsea, and they're willing to pay a higher price tag for rents in Chelsea. It's one of those neighborhoods that has people's hearts. People love it. And a lot of times if you live in Chelsea, you don't want to leave Chelsea. And because of this, the cap rates are consistently good. You get clientele very quickly into your apartment if you're renting it out. And my investors who purchased in Chelsea have been very, very happy. My next recommendation for best neighborhood to invest in now is Lincoln Square on the west side, a little bit more uptown. In this neighborhood, the median sale price did also decrease year over year by about 9.7%. And that is coming in now just under $1.2 million. And the price per square foot increased by 3.7% year over year to $1,568. The cap rate is also very strong in Lincoln Square, coming in at 3.1%. Again, people choose to live in Lincoln Square for a specific reason, and because of this, you're going to be seeing high cap rates. It's also worth mentioning that just because median price per square foot decreased year over year in certain neighborhoods does not mean that the appreciation is bad in those areas. Appreciation is always going up and down. Some years you're up and some years you're down, and overall you're trending upwards. And 2023 was a really finicky year when it came to real estate. It was a very slow real estate market. Sales did not always reflect what you would typically see when analyzing data in Manhattan. When it comes to why I recommended these particular areas for this episode, I'm really looking to target your investor that is interested in the cap rate. I put the cap rate as one of the more important pieces of information that went into this analysis. And when it comes to choosing an apartment, using cap rate as a key indicator, you want to make sure that you're picking an apartment that is in a neighborhood that is not oversaturated with inventory. So I don't love recommending neighborhoods that have an oversaturation of rental listings to my clients who are looking to rent apartments out. The reason for this is because there's only so much that you're really going to be able to push the rent that you're asking on your apartment if you have 300 other similar apartments that are being sold near you. You're not going to have the leverage needed to secure your clientele that's going to pay your premium rent if they have so many other options elsewhere. When you have neighborhoods like the Financial District, Chelsea, if you run a search for rental properties in these neighborhoods, you're going to find just a handful of listings. You may find 30 rental listings available in a slower market. You may see 50 rental listings available in a slightly busier market. And on the other hand, when you look at, let's say, a neighborhood like the Upper East Side, for example, if you run a rental search on the Upper East Side and you tailor it to be like, let's say, one bedroom apartments, for example, and you run a search on the Upper East Side, you'll find over 300 options. So when you're looking to rent an apartment out in a neighborhood like this, you have to understand that you have a lot of competition. Whereas if you choose a smaller neighborhood that has very specific clientele that know that area and want to be there for certain reasons, you have the ability to actually get a premium rent on that property. That sums it up for this episode. I hope you found it useful. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. If you're listening on the podcast, please share this with someone that you think might find it useful. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can be updated when new videos post. Stay tuned for the next episode where we are going to be talking about my favorite Brooklyn neighborhoods to invest in right now. Similar way that we just discussed the Manhattan neighborhoods, I'll be discussing Brooklyn. If you have any questions at all coming out of this episode or in general, please never hesitate to email me. My email address is christina.cremitas@element.com. You can also check out my website, christinacremitas.com, where you can see much more information about me and the team. You can see us in action. You can watch our videos and you can read our testimonials. I am dedicated to making sure that you have the opportunity to achieve a future of financial success by making intelligent real estate investment decisions today. Thank you guys so much for being here. And as always, stay tuned for the next one.